Okay, good morning to everybody. Gurvach. Nice to see everybody. Good to be together to learn Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach is a really a continuation of the travels, the trials and the tribulations, the challenges of the Dor HaMidbar. We have discussed at great length, beginning with Parshas Bamidbar through Naso, Baloscha, and Shlach, of the multiple challenges, struggles that Moshe Rabbeinu has had, that Klal Yisrael have had, the anarchy, the rebellion, the divisiveness, the division that has taken place throughout the Dor HaMidbar, certainly beginning in Parshas Bahalosecha, following the Nunin Hafuchim, the beginning of Klal Yisrael's descent, as they thought and as they had hoped and they had pined and they had really prepared themselves to travel and to enter Eretz Yisrael following Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah. There was a sudden shift, a sudden turn, which takes place in Parshas Bahalosecha. And in year one of the Midbar, of course, culminating in last week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, with the sending of the spies, the Meraglim, that changed everything as Klal Yisrael was given a 40-year punishment to stay in the Midbar, Arba'im Yom Lashana, Arba'im Yom Lashana, 40 years for each day of the mission, of the reconnaissance mission in the Midbar, headed to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that slowed us down. Parshas Korach is juxtaposed to the Parshas Meraglim. And this really is a machlokus between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Korach, when actually the story of Korach took place. Certainly we all would agree that it took place post-Matan Torah in the first year in the Midbar. But the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban debate exactly when it took place. The Ibn Ezra says, and is of the opinion, that the story of Korach actually took place much, much earlier. Not where it is written in the Torah. It took place basically after and following the inauguration of the Mishkan. So if you travel back to Parshios Vayakel, Pekudei, Truma Tetzaveh, or maybe somewhere in the area of Parshios Vayikra, with the Parshios of Tazria Metzora, following the movement of the Bechorim out of the position of the service of the Mishkan and replacing the Levim with them, that is when Korach came and Korach argued. And Korach bitterly challenged Moshe and Aaron, saying that it can't be that you, Moshe, are the Levi, and you, Aaron, are the Kohen. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair that you should take all the power. You should accept everything upon yourself. And therefore, for that reason, the Ibn Ezra takes the position that Parshas Korach is not really found here after Bahaloscha and Shlach, but really it's found in the end of Sefer Shmos, or in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, following the inauguration of the Mishkan and the replacement of the Levim for the Bechorim. However, the Ramban argues, the Ramban everywhere in Chamisha Chumshei Torah argues, and he says there's never a concept of Ein Mukta Mu'uchar B'Torah. Anytime the Torah lists a Parsha, tells us a story, an anecdote, and rules that take place, they always follow the formation that the Torah has placed it in. Unless there's a good reason to explain otherwise, says the Ramban, we always have to believe and understand that the order, the Seder HaParshios, is correct. And therefore the Ramban explains that Parshas Korach is perfectly placed immediately following Parshas Shlach, and he explains that Korach, as we will see momentarily, waited, as opposed to the Ibn Ezra, waited time. Korach knew about the replacement of the Kohanim and the Levim in the place of the Bechorim, and understood that the Avod and the Mishkan was not going to be that of the Bechorim, but nonetheless he waited for the perfect opportunity to rebel. When would the perfect opportunity be to rebel? Right now, after the story of the Meraglim. Klal Yisrael was such in a bitter, disgraceful state of depression as a result of the new punishment that was executed, that Klal Yisrael would be in the Midbar for 40 years, and the state of the Jewish people, politically, emotionally, spiritually, was at its lowest point. And after that Gezerah, Korach recognized that he could now take advantage of the state of the Jewish people. The state of Klal Yisrael on the Midbar was so dismal, was so abhorrent, was so depressing, that Korach understood that now is his chance. And really, throughout Jewish history and world history, we often see that great rebellions often begin when they are started at the right time. You have to take advantage of a situation, take advantage of a setting, take advantage of a time frame, And that's exactly what Korach did geniusly, to plant his rebellion at the most opportune time. And that's exactly what he did. Baaloscha and Shlach are two of the saddest parshas that we will read, because here it is, Klal Yisrael has pivoted itself to enter Eretz Yisrael and to make it into the land, Eretz, Zavas, Cholav, Udvash, the perfect setting to place ourselves in Eretz Yisrael following Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father-in-law Yisro, in Parshas Baaloscha, Nosim anachnu, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Nosim anachnu, we're traveling. El hamakom asher amar Hashem ito, that HaKadosh Baruch has told us. Oso ete lachem, lacha. Aitanu ve'tavnu lach, ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. The time has come. Travel with us, my dear father-in-law Yisrael. The time is perfect. And unfortunately, that all changed, and in a matter of moments, from the misonin to the asafsof, to trouble after trouble. And therefore, as a result of the state and of the position that Klal Yisrael was in, comes Parshas Korach to tell us exactly when and where and why and how Korach took advantage of the situation. Thus, the Ramban argues on the Ibn Ezra and explains that it's specific, it's explicit, it's dafka now that Parshas Korach and the story of Korach emerges as a result of the situation that Klal Yisrael finds us in, not like the Ibn Ezra. However, what I'd like to do this morning is to take a more careful look at the events that led to Parshas Korach. Again, we're still in year one in the Midbar. We're right after, at least according to the Ramban, after the Meraglim, and even according to the Ibn Ezra, we're still in year one in the Midbar. But let's take a look at what takes place throughout the first year in the Midbar and contrast that with Korach. Because if you look at the Dor HaMidbar in the first year, one could argue that it's just simply a state of string of bad events, from Korach to Balak and to Bilam to the Misonanim to the Asafsuf to the Meraglim. And we throw that all into one hat and we assume all of the rebellion, all of the divisiveness, all of the division is exactly the same. And Korach just the same. The truth is, if you take a careful look at all of the rebellions leading up to Parshas Korach, you will see that they are diametrically opposed and categorically different than the rebellion of Korach. So let's take a review of year one in the Midbar, and for that we have to go back to Parshas Bishalach, following Kriyas Yamsuf, when Klal Yisrael entered the Midbar. From that moment until Parshas, Baaloscha, Shlach, and Korach is really all one year. We skip, of course, Sefer Vayikra, all of the halachas, Torah's Kohanim, but from Bishalach to Yisro, to Mishpatim, Trumet Tetzave Kisisa Vayakel Pekudeh, all of Sefer Vayikra, then Bamidbar, Nasa, Baaloscha, Shlach, Korach is really all in year one. So although the Parshios, Hashavua, and the Chumashim of the Torah, of Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar may seem as if they took years and years and decades, the truth be told, as we always discuss, you really need to understand the Chumash and the Parshas Hashavua in the context of time. And here the time from Parshas Bishalach, which we read, you know, a number of weeks prior to Purim, which seems like years ago almost, until Parshas Baaloscha, Shlach, and Korach, which is post Shavuos, which is almost, you know, something like a half a year. In Torah time, it seems like it'd be years and decades. The truth is, it's all within a matter of months and certainly under a year. So therefore, let's travel back to Parshas Bishalach, post Kriyas Yamsuf, and see what takes place in the year in the Midbar, and understand and contrast that to our parasha, Parshas Korach. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Tezvav, chapter 15, Psukim Chaf Beis, page 380 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, if that's what you have. But otherwise, it's chapter 15 of Sefer Shmos, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Klal Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf. And you're going to notice a word that continues to repeat throughout Sfarim of Shmos and Bamidbar. One word that repeats itself over and over that really, really highlights and really is the central theme of all of the Dor HaMidbar. Vayisa Moshe es Yisrael miYamsuf. Klal Yisrael travel from the Yamsuf. Vayetzu al Midbar Shur. They go to the desert of Shur. They travel for 3 days and there's no water. Dehydration sets in. They come to Mara. We all remember famous Mara. There, Klal Yisrael received 3 of the famous mitzvos. Dinim, Kibbud Av Ha'Eim, and Shabbos. V'loyachu lishtos, there was no water to drink. Ki marim heim, the water was very bitter. Al kein karash momara. And here comes the word that you will see over and over in Parshas Bishalach and in Parshas Bahaloscha. Year one is characterized by Vayilonu ha'am al Moshe. The people complained to Moshe. What did they complain about? Manishta, what are we going to drink? So Moshe was the source of enormous amount of complaint. Here he was the leader of the Jewish people. The Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mani Gador. Moshe Rabbeinu who took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, crossed them over the sea, is the one who's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Vayilonu ha'am al Moshe. Take a look at that word and that phrase and that refrain, which will repeat itself over and over again. What does Moshe do? Vayitzak el Hashem. Moshe davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayoreu Hashem eitz. And a tree is placed into the water. The water is sweetened. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, if you listen to Hashem, you hearken to God, you follow Hashem, and you do what you are supposed to do, you follow the mitzvot, so you don't transgress any averos, kol amachla shesamti b'mitzrayim la'osim alecha k'inei Hashem rofecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the rofei chol basur mafli lasos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the rofei cholim. Just do what you are supposed to do. Hashem will take care of you. Hashem will take care of us. We'll get through the Midbar very quickly, very swiftly. In a matter of days and weeks, we will enter Eretz Yisrael. Ani Hashem Rofecha. However, one would imagine that it would be so simple and so easy. Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a Musar Shmuz. Who wouldn't listen? Kadosh Baruch Hu changes the sour, bitter water to sweet water. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that we're going to let you enter Eretz Yisrael if you follow these words. However, the story doesn't end, because if you take a look in Perek Tezayin, page 382, we continue in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. They travel from Elim, Vayavo kol Ades Bnei Yisrael Midbar Sin. They enter Midbar Sin. And take a look, the same word and the same refrain repeats itself again. Pasuk Beis, Vayilonu kol Adas b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'al Aaron b'midbar. All of the Jewish people, all of Klal Yisrael complain against Moshe and Aaron in the desert. Vayom ra'alem, and what do they say? B'nei Yisrael, mi'yitein Museini b'yad Hashem eretz Mitzrayim. We had to come to the midbar to die? We could have died in Mitzrayim on the fat of the land. There's good food. We could have been taken care of. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have everything we need. Delicious fish on the Nile, the fruits, the vegetables, the watermelon, the zucchini, everything that we need. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu again respond and say, even though they complain, Vayilonu? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinini mamti lachem lechem min hashamayim. I'm going to send them the man. And the man will give them what they need. They will service them. It will take care of them. And if you, again, not surprisingly, Moshe says, if you follow the halachas, if you do what you are supposed to do, if you receive the man and you follow the halachas that you're supposed to with the man, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, everything will be okay. You'll be taken care of. You won't have any challenges. You won't struggle. You won't suffer. You'll have every single thing you need. Don't worry, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll be taken care of. But nonetheless, of course, it's not so simple, it's not so easy. Because the Torah tells us in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17 of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bishalach, page 388, in the stone Chumash, Vayisu kol ades bnei Yisrael mimidbar sin l'vaseh. They received the sweetened water in Marah. They received the man. And what happens? They reach Rephidim, Pasuk Beis, page 390. Vayarev ha'am in Moshe. Not just Vayilonu. They don't just complain, but they fight with Moshe. Vayomru, Tnu, Lonu, Mayim, Benishna, give us water so we can drink. They're no longer requesting, but they're demanding. Vayomru, Moshe, time number three. Moshe says, Mati rivani madu, mati nasanas Hashem. What are you fighting with me? What are you testing Hashem for? Vayitzmar sham ha'am lamayim, vayolein ha'am al Moshe, pasuk gimel. Perek Yud Zayin, page 390, again, Vayolein Ha'am Al Moshe, they complain to Moshe, Vayomer, Lama Zeheli Sunami Mitzrayim? Why are you taking us out of Egypt? Lahamis Osiv Es Banav Es Miknai Batzama. You're gonna starve and dehydrate us, our families, and our cattle, our flock. How could we handle this? And Moshe again responds, Vayitzak Moshe, Lashem Moshe, Davins Lashem, Ma'es Elama Zeh, Od Ma'atu Skaluni. A position of leadership is not so easy. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and says and asks, what am I going to do with these people? Soon they're going to stone me. They're starving. They're dehydrated. They're famished. Take the staff in your hand, and go to the staff and hit the staff, the rock with a staff, and you'll be able to have water. And it doesn't get any easier, because do you know what's going to happen next? In Psukim Ches and Tes, Amalek comes, and Amalek attacks Klal Yisrael Berefidim, and it's a very bitter attack. It's a difficult, a challenging attack. Yoshua and Hur come, and they hold up Moshe's hand, and ultimately Klal Yisrael are victorious. But Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing enormous amount of struggle, enormous amount of stress, enormous amount of challenges, just days after Yetzias Mitzrayim, 7 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim, comes Kriyas Yamsov. And immediately following Kriyas Yamsov, a series and a string of complaints hurled at Moshe Rabbeinu from Refidim to Midbar Sin to Midbar Shur, day after day, week after week, stop after stop. Klal Yisrael fight Moshe, argue with Moshe, and Vayolein Ha'amim Moshe, they complain. But if you skip ahead just a little bit more, the story continues. Still year one in the Midbar. Travel to Parshas Kisisa. Perek Lamed Beis, chapter 32 of Sefer Shmos. Page 492 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. The greatest challenge that Klal Yisrael can hurl at Moshe Rabbeinu, as after Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah, the Aseret HaDibros, hands it to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up to Har Sinai for another 40 days and tells Klal Yisrael, wait, I'll be back. Don't go anywhere. And what happens? Perek Lamed Beis, chapter 32. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Galav, Ayar Ha'am Ki Boshesh Moshe. Klal Yisrael sees that Moshe is tarrying, delaying. Moshe doesn't return Laredes Minahar. Vayikohel Ha'am Al Aaron again. They attack Aaron, a mob mentality. Enormous amount of stress that Aaron and Moshe face. Not just dehydration, not just starvation, but Moshe's absence and his dilly-dallying, in their opinion, for a matter of moments, changes history. Because Vayom Re'lov Kuma Seilano Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu Kizem Moshe Isha She'elon Emeretz Nisayim Lo Yadonu Mahayelo. What happened to Moshe? He went AWOL. We don't know where Moshe is. He told us he'd be back. And of course, Klal Yisrael miscalculated. But they're nervous. They're scared. They're frightened, Klal Yisrael. And Aaron has to deal now with this struggle. Up until now, Parshas Peshach was Moshe's problem. Moshe was the leader. Moshe was the one to turn to. But Moshe's gone. Moshe's on Har Sinai. Moshe didn't return. So Aaron has to deal with the rabble. Aaron has to deal with the rebellion. Aaron has to deal with the anarchy. And here it is again, Klal Yisrael taking a situation that could have been handled in one way, and instead Klal Yisrael bitterly fight, argue, and debate Moshe, debate Aaron, Vayolein Ha'am Moshe, Vayorev Ha'am Moshe, and Aaron now takes the same state and is also found himself in the same situation. But now skip ahead to Parshas Bahalosecha. And we continue still, as we said, year number one in the Midbar, although we're skipping from Parshas Peshalach to Parshas Kisisa to Parshas Bahalosecha. A lot of Torah is being given in the interim, but we're still historically, and in terms of the facts on the ground, we're still in year one in the Midbar, Shana Rishona. And if you take a look at page 786 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, something we touched upon 2 weeks ago, the Nunin Hafuchim, the inverted nuns, Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Perek Kol Kisvei, the 16th chapter of Masechet Shabbos. Why are these nunin hafuchim? Why are these nunin inverted? The Gemara tells us because there's a string of three sins which take place here. Puranios, bitter, difficult, painful challenges that Klal Yisrael throw at Moshe and at God. And therefore we need to divide them, separate Parshas Bamidbar into separate Chumashim. The first half of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, Nason Baloscha, are the excitement, the anticipation, the climbing, the pining to reach Eretz Yisrael. The second half of Sefer Bamidbar, after the Nunin Hafuchim, after the inverted Nuns, is the state of depression, of challenge, of strife, of argument, of divisiveness and division. And where does it start? It starts right here, Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, no pun intended, Parshas Bahalosecha, on page 786, Vayhi Ha'am Kimisoninim. Again, what's the word? Complaint, complaint, complaint. Vayalein Ha'am Kimisoninim. The people are complaining. Rabbe Ozne Hashem. It's bitter, it's bad, it's wicked in the eyes of God. Vayishma Hashem vayicharapo. God gets angry. In Parshas Bishalach, how does God react? He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take a tree, place it into the water and mar, and it will go from sour to sweet. When Klal Yisrael complain a second time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, give them the man. A third time they complain, Moshe says, what am I going to do? The people are going to stone me, Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, you'll find them water. There's a rock, and the rock from will emerge water. But now, as the story continues, post the Egel Hazav, and post Moshe Rabbeinu smashing the Luchos, again complained, and what are you complaining about? Water, dehydration. Vayichar apo, God is angry. Vativar bam eish Hashem vatochel b'kzei amachan. A fire was flame. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angered. But Moshe doesn't give up. Pasuk Beis. Perek Yod Aleph Sefer Bamidbar Parshas Balosecha. Page 788. Vayitzak ha'am el Moshe. The people cried to Moshe. Vayispala Moshe l'Hashem vatishka eish. Moshe again cries, davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fire is consumed. And they're calm again. And this next stop is called Tavera, from the word Be'er. Kivar of Amesh Hashem, the fire of God, emerged. But the story continues more complaining. V'asafsuf, asher b'kibu hisavu taiva. The asafsuf, they come. Part of Klal Yisrael, and they're also desiring something. But what are they desiring? Mi achileinu basar. Who's going to give us meat to eat? Zacharnu es hadaga. We remember the fish, ashenochel b'mitzrayim, that we ate in Egypt. Es hakishuim, es havatichim, es hachatzim, es habatzal, es hashumim, the vegetables, the fruit, the fish, the meat, everything we had in Egypt. What are we doing here? What are you taking us to the midbar for? V'atan avsheni yavesha ain't cold. There's nothing to eat. El bilti al aman enenu, all we have is this man. They're complaining not only about what they had in Egypt, but they're even complaining about the man which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Bnei Israel. If you follow the halachas, the rules, the dinim of the man, kol amachla, everything will be okay, you'll be taken care of. But nonetheless, Klal Yisrael complained, they were not satisfied, they weren't happy. And it's here that Moshe finally has enough and says, I can't do this anymore. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yomer Moshe Lashem, Lama Hereos Alavdecha, V'lama Lo Matzasi Chen Beinecha, Lassum Es Masa Kol HaMazalai. What do I, and why am I deserving to be the one to handle this nation? Hanochi Harisi Asamazeh, have I given birth to them? I went into labor for Klal Yisrael. Imanochi laretiu, did I give birth to this nation? Ki somer laisayu bechakecha, that you are telling me that I should carry them? Kasher yisa omen esayonik, the way a nurse carries a nursing child. How could that be? Mi'ayin li basar, I don't have any meat to give them. What do they want from my life? What are they complaining? What are they kvetching about? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu again responds and says, you have to now establish a Sanhedrin. You have to establish Shivim Zekenim. And these Shivim Zekenim will help you, will aid you, and will help set you up. And again, the story continues, comes the, not only the man, the slav. And now, if you continue on page 792, Eldar and Medar misnabim b'machane. Eldar and Medar have a prophecy. Moshe meis v'Yoshua machnis es Eretz Yisrael le'Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is going to die, and Eldar and Medar are going to help create a sense of anarchy and rebellion as Klal Yisrael continue this throwing, hurling, fighting, complaining against Moshe, and complaining against Aaron, vayalein, 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 vayhi ha'am kimisonin, dam asafsuf asher bikirbo hisavu taiva, dosan ve'aviram, eldad and meidad, everybody's fighting Moshe, everybody's fighting Aaron, and slowly, slowly Moshe is put in a situation where he's very challenged, and he's very, very in a difficult strait. And that brings us to Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13 of Sefer Bamidbar, Parsha Shlach, which we learned last week, page 798 in the Art Store, Skon Chumash, Vaydaber, Shemel Moshe Lemo, Shlach Lecha Anashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesces to the request of Klal Yisrael. But if you look in Sefer Dvarim, you're missing a sentence, you're missing a pasuk, you're missing part of the story. Because why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesce? Why is Moshe telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the people want to send spies? What do we need that for? What's the significance? Why do we have to send the spies? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu say it's okay? Do you know why? because as soon as Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and after all the stress and the struggle they placed upon Moshe, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vatikruvun Elai Kulchem, another mob mentality. Klal Yisrael came and fought with Moshe. Batomru nishluch anoshim lefanenu. Send us men into Eretz Yisrael. V'yachpru lanu es haaretz. And they will spy out the land. V'yashivo sanu davar sederech asher nalabav es haarem asher nava lehem. So we were forced, says Moshe. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our deck was forced. We didn't have a choice. There was no choice in the matter. Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesces to send the spies into the land of Eretz Yisrael. But again, you sense Klal Yisrael very nervous, they're very concerned, they're frightened. Not just with dehydration, not just with the lack of water, not just with the lack of food and the starvation, not just with the Egel Hazav, but now comes the Meraglim. Because Klal Yisrael are frightened and scared, they're not prepared to enter Eretz Yisrael as much as they were in Parshas Baloscha prior to the inverted nuns. When Moshe tells his father-in-law, Nosim Anachnu, we're going to the good land. They were so prepared, they were so ready. What happened? But this fear that we've discussed, as the Netziv has pointed out in his introduction to Sefer Bamidbar and throughout his commentary to Sefer Bamidbar, Klal Yisrael weren't prepared to leave the man, the slav. They weren't prepared to leave the Anane HaKavod, the Be'er. They had it well, and they were being so taken care of. They were like the nursing child being cloaked in under God's glory of his clouds, and Klal Yisrael wasn't yet prepared, and they were scared, they were nervous, just like the child preparing to go to yeshiva to leave his house. It's scary to leave. He wants his mother's cooking still. He doesn't want the chef in yeshiva. He doesn't know what's going to be. They're scared. They're going to have to work. He's going to have to go buy food. He's going to have to leave the yeshiva to take care. Klal Yisrael are scared on a national level, and it goes from the Egel to the Meraglim, to the complaints after complaints after complaints. This is year one in the Midbar. Year one in the Midbar, post Kriyas Yamsuf. Throughout is a year of complaints after complaints after complaints, even though contrast that with the incredible schusim that they have of the Mun and the Be'er, the Slav. But that all is coming as a reaction to Klal Yisrael, who is hurling these complaints and these fights against Moshe, against Aaron, and essentially against God. Enter Parshas Korach. And you will see and you will note that there's something dramatically different, categorically different, and therefore we can't simply group Parshas Korach with Parshas Baloscha and Parshas Shlach. We can't simply group Parshas Korach with Parshas Bishalach. There's something very different about the anarchy, about the rebellion of Korach, Hadasso, and Dasan Vavirim. There's something very, very distinct. There's something very, very different. And let's see what it is. If you turn to Parshas Korach, Perek Tezayin, chapter 16 of Sefer Bamidbar, Psukim Aleph through Hey, page 820, in the Art Scroll Stone, Chumash Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehos ben Levi. It's not Vayilonu. You don't see that word complaint anymore. Korach is not complaining. You don't see the word vayarev that he fought. Korach has a different approach, a different attitude. But what is it? What changes so much so that Rashi asks the question, the word lokach is an anomaly. Certainly an anomaly in the first year of the Midbar, because it's not vayalin, it's not vayarev, it's vayikach. Korach wants to take something. And Rashi says, "Lokach es atzmo letzarecha lios nechlak mitocha oida loorer al hakihuna." You know what Korach is complaining about? Not about food, not about starvation, not about water, not about dehydration. It's not simply that he's complaining about something. He has a philosophical argument. He has a halachic argument. He has a spiritual argument. It's not simply a regular complaint, the types that we have seen thus far. The purpose of Korach's rebellion was not to gratify a basic need, not to assuage panic or hunger or starvation or dehydration. It was something very different. It wasn't like what happened in Elim. It wasn't what happened in Rephidim. It wasn't what happened in Midbar Sin. It wasn't what happened in Midbar Shur. It wasn't what happened in Parshas Kisisa with the Egel. And it wasn't what happened in Parshas Shlach with the Meraglim. If you're to categorize all of those events from Bishalach to Kisisa to Baaloscha, Do you know what Klal Yisrael is complaining about there? Physical desire. They miss the meat and the fish and the chicken and the poultry. They miss the vegetables and the fruit. They miss being taken care of by God. They're scared, they're frightened, they're panicked. And when you're scared and you're frightened, you know what you do? You scream at somebody else. You complain against others. And Klal Yisrael is scared, they're frightened. So much so, even at the Egel, the emergence of the Avodah Zarah, the Egel is not coming because of a philosophical and theological reason. But rather, it's coming because they're scared and they're frightened. Vayara am ki boshesh Moshe. Remember that pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Kisisa. They're scared. Where's Moshe? Where's our father? Where's our Rebbe? Where's our leader? He's been with us from the beginning, from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah to Kriyas Yamsuf. He's brought us to the Midbar. He's going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. He told us he'll be back. Where is he? We're scared and we're frightened. That's not Korach. That's not the 250 men. It's not the Dasan Ve'aviram. Here we have a theological, philosophical, political debate. Something drastically and diametrically different than anything we have seen thus far. And therefore, according to the Ramban, Parshas Korach is juxtaposed to Parsha Shlach, because this is the perfect setting for a political upheaval. It's the perfect setting for a divide. It's the perfect setting for a rebellion. This is exactly what Korach has been waiting for. The state of Klal Yisrael, the challenges and the depression has set into such an intense extent that now is the opportunity. The Ramban, at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, writes, V'hine hayu ohavim oso kinavshem. They loved Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person that they complained about. And what did Moshe do? He dove into HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single time. The sour water turned sweet. The lack of food turned to the man that brought the quail, the slav. Moshe Rabbeinu takes care of them like a child who fights his mother. And the mother continues to cuddle and to coddle and to bake and to cook and to tuck in the child every time, even when the child is kicking and screaming at the mother. They loved Moshe. Hayu ohavim oso kinavsham, says the Ramban. They loved him. Vishomim ilav. They would listen to anything that Moshe would say. If anybody would have thought or attempted to rebel against Moshe Bizmanahu during that year one, the people would have fought and would have stoned anybody who would have fought Moshe Rabbeinu because they loved him. Like a child loves his mother, if anybody would start up with his mother, the child would take that kid and knock him out. That's what Klal Yisrael would have done to anybody who would start up with Moshe. But no longer is that the case, because they lost their hope in Moshe. They thought that they would enter Eretz Yisrael, but that didn't happen. They gave up on Moshe. Moshe, you told us that we're going to enter the land flowing with milk and honey. You told us that we're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Now look what's happened, a 40-year decree, a 40-year punishment. The Moshe that they love is no longer. But it's now the Moshe that they hate, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowing them and didn't serve as the vehicle to allow them to enter Eretz Yisrael, enter Korach. What better time is there for him to gain popularity, to gain a forum, to gain individuals to follow his path, his political scheme, arguing with Moshe and Aaron? Now's the time, says Korach. And now's exactly the time that I have an argument. I have a point. What's my point? Moshe and Aaron are taking all the glory for themselves. Moshe is the leader. Aaron is the Kohen. There's nothing left. Kisistareir aleinu kam kisistareir, says Korach. You're not leaving us with anything. And Korach doesn't just pick up people. But what does the Torah say? Who are the people that he picks up? He gains 250 men, but not just 250 men. Nisiei Eda, the cream of the cream. The cream of the crop, Nisiei Eda, the highest, most unique, most established, most spiritual leaders, Kriyei Moed Anshei Sheim, men of renown. So Korach gets the cream of the crop, the top leaders in all of the Jewry, in the Midbar, come under the cloak of Korach Dafka now. So we see two very, very significant differences. Categorical differences between the rebellion of Korach and every other rebellion that takes place in the Midbar. Number one, it's not here because they're complaining because of starvation and dehydration. This anarchy. And this rebellion is not coming because Klal Yisrael needs something physical. But this rebellion is coming for your theological, philosophical, and spiritual reasons. A political warfare. That's what Korach is doing. Number one. Number two. In the Midbar, who fought Moshe? Everybody. Kol Adas Yisrael. Vayilonu Ha'am. Everybody was complaining against Moshe. Who's complaining here? Very, very few people. Korach Ve'adaso. Dasan ve'aviram, 250 men, a very, very small rebellion. It's not a large crowd, not the likes of everything that we have seen up until this point. Everything changes now. Korach understands that he doesn't need all of Klal Yisrael to fight Moshe, but if he's able to engender the support of the cream of the cream, the 250 men, the Kriya Eda, the Nisiyei Moed Anshei Shem, then Korach can do what he has to do. But what is Korach so upset about? What he's so angered about? That Rashi picks up on and tells us. Lama, for what reason, asks Rashi, did Korach argue with Moshe? Mara Korach lach look at Moshe. What did Korach see to argue with Moshe? What was so important? What was he getting so upset about? So Rashi explains to us, as I explained moments ago, he's arguing with the appointment of Aaron's children, in the office of the kahuna, and they're taking over everything. And Moshe's family and Aaron's family is taking over everything. Korach wants that. So thus we see that this rebellion is a very different rebellion, and we can't categorize, and we can't throw Parshas Korach with Parshas Bishalach and Kisisa. We can't put it with Parshas Bahalosecha and Shlach, because Korach's rebellion was a different one. He sees an opportunity to really recruit the very, very dissatisfied Jewish people and to organize his opposition. And it's for that reason, says the Ramban, the juxtaposition of Parsha Shlach to Korach, Dafka, and he picked up Dasan and Aviram. They refused to hear Moshe, and they refused to take Moshe's side, because now is the chance, now is the opportunity. And that's what Rashi says, Lokach es atzmo letzad acher lios nechlak mi. He argues against the kahuna, and this is the reason, and this is that what we see as really what you would call the first conspiracy, as Rabbi Soloveitchik referred to it as, the first conspiracy in the Midbar. Because up until now, it wasn't a conspiracy. It was simply a situation of complaint as a result of fear, of scaredness. But at this point, the rebellion is a different one. It's a conspiracy, and Korach capitalizes on the tragedy of the Meraglim to place himself in this position to overturn and to trump Moshe's authority. But of course, as the parasha continues, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is not willing to sit down. Although Moshe Rabbeinu has put himself in a position where he's had such difficulties and such struggles, Rashi says this is Sirchon Revi, the fourth real challenge that Moshe has been faced with in his midbar. But as we've explained, it's a very different type of debate. And here Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, please help Korach. Please help these 250 men. Please help these Reish Nun Ish and Dasan Vavriam. That's not what has to happen. Moshe has to stand up and he has to be strong. And he has to defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu and defend the house and the office of the Kohen and the Levi. And Moshe has to defend the decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed the Kohanim and the Levim in the place of the Bechorim, and it can't be Korach taking over. And Moshe, of course, tells Korach, if you want to see who's correct, we're going to place a test, and we'll see who's going to be correct. Mochar, tomorrow's going to be the day, and you come and you see who is going to be the right one, who is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. And of course, through an earthquake, the ground opens up, swallowing Korach, burning the 250 men. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are again placed in a position where they understand and they know very well who is the boss, who is in charge. But as I mentioned yesterday, it's not so simple. Even after Moshe wins this battle, and even though Moshe has been chosen, and Aaron has been chosen, nonetheless, Klal Yisrael still, they complain. They're still not sure that Aaron is going to be the one. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, take 12 staves, place the name of each of the chiefs of the 12 tribes on a staff, place it into the arm, whichever staff will blossom, will bloom, that one will be the chief, that one will be the leader. Of course, Parach Mata Aaron, the mata, the staff of Aaron, blossoms, and that staff is the staff of Aaron HaKohen, who ultimately continues to go through the situation that he goes through, ultimately emerging as the Kohen Gadol, Moshe emerging as the leader of Klal Yisrael. But this is how everything develops in the Midbar. And finally, Bnei Yisrael say at the end of Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17, page 830 in the art scroll, Stern Chemish, the fear remains. Vayomru bnei Yisrael Moshe, Klal Yisrael say to Moshe, Hein gavanu avadnu kulanu avoldu, we are perishing. We are lost. We are all lost. Scared, again, kicks in. The fear kicks in. Year one of the Midbar, back. Klal Yisrael unable to continue. They're unable to go on. And as we'll pick up with next week, after year one, what happens next? Where do Klal Yisrael go after year one? After the Meraglim, after Korach, after the Misonanim, after the Asafsuf? We know so much about year one from Parshas Beshalach Kisisa, Bahaloscha, Shlach, and Korach. What happens next? And Parshas Chukas, which we'll pick up with next week, all of a sudden takes us to year 40 in the Midbar. And we're missing 38 years in the Midbar that the Torah tells us nothing about. And it's those 38 years which I will attempt to try to talk about, discuss, and understand next week. But if year one is categorized by complaint after complaint after complaint, the Asafta to the Misonanim, Baruchim, Har Sinai, Shloshes Yamim, stop after stop, encampment after encampment, Korach is different because of those two reasons, which I just explained, which were Rabbi Soloveitchik's point in this first conspiracy, where it was only a small group as opposed to a large group. It's a political and it's a rebellion of theology and philosophy as opposed to one of physical and emotional complaint. That is Parshas Korach. You put it all together, a very great and difficult challenge that takes place in year one. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll pick up with year two, three, through year 38 and 39, trying to understand the Dor HaMidbar, the incredible dichotomy which takes place from the Kriyas Yamsuf to Matan Torah, to the Nisim, to the miracles, to the Mon and the Slav, the Be'er, the Anane HaKavah, but all at the same time, anarchy, complaints, division, divisiveness, challenges, Moshe Rabbeinu being put into a corner. And here Korach comes, the Meraglim, the Egel Hazav, so much to talk about, to think about, to contemplate, to consider, to understand why Korach is different than the others, and of course to try to understand why Klal Yisrael needed this. And as the Ramban and as the Netziv have explained, as we've discussed thus far, Klal Yisrael were not yet ready. They weren't yet prepared to leave their nursing mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't prepared to leave the Hanhaga Nisis, to enter the Hanhaga Tivis. And for this reason, the complaints, the debate, the argument, and this is where Klal Yisrael find themselves in the Midbar. Mirtz Hashem will pick up next week with Parshas Korach. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week. Shavuot Tov. Goodbye.